San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB, you could hear us on your smartphone, and all the podcasts are free and commercial-free on iTunes and also on our website, iymoney.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished marathon runner, and he is a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. You sound like you're losing your voice.
Yeah, I've got a little hoarse voice. A little Halloween.
Maybe it's the weather change.
It's the Halloween.
Maybe you're out trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Whatever.
Let's not waste time.
Well, let's not waste time. On the line, we have one of the candidates for Congress. Well, he's the incumbent Congress member, and he's a friend of the show, District 52. I'm sure everyone has seen enough commercials by now to know what's going on. But, Scott, good evening. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great, just fine. Are you anxious to get Tuesday behind you, for gosh sakes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This has been a long... opponent decided to run for office back in May of 2013. So, been a long campaign, to say the least.
They got to change the rule. I mean, Congress every 2 years. I mean, they got to make that 4 years or something, because as soon as you get done, you're running again, right?
Well, I'm just trying to get through Tuesday. I'm going to try to take at least a few days off. So,
how do you feel? Well rested and in all? And
I feel good. You know, we obviously have spent a lot of time trying to get the word out to try to draw distinctions between the approach that I've taken and that my opponent would take.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are starting to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
We just really want to get folks to come out and vote on Tuesday, make
yeah.
sure that they participate. You know, people literally died for the ability for us to go out and cast our votes to elect who represents us in our government.
So you know what's disconcerting?
We had
Carol Kim on the show. She said 66% of San Diegans, I don't know if it's just her district or countywide, but they're registered to vote. Two-thirds are registered to vote by mail, which is how I vote.
Yes.
And, we should be getting at least a 50% turnout. If people are rallying their ballots, I can't believe people get their ballots in the mail and don't mail them. Is that what's going on?
Well, we're still working on that. You know, you'll be able to drop them off on any polling place on Tuesday. So if you haven't mailed them yet, probably don't want to mail them now, but you can drop them off at the registrar or any polling place.
Oh, I voted like weeks and weeks ago, so
good for you.
Maybe they should pick up the postage on those, but make those prepaid by the government.
I thought about that. I thought that would be a good way to do it. The other thing people don't know is that if they have a mail ballot and they mail it in, they don't get any more phone calls. They don't get any more mail.
Ah.
So it's an incentive. If you know what you're going to do, do it early. Get that thing off the kitchen table.
Yeah. Hey, was this a record year for commercials for your race? Oh, gosh, it was. It seems like every channel, every 2 minutes, we're seeing one or the other. I mean, it's just kind of mind-blowing, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I hear, Joe. You know, I don't watch much TV.
Good for you.
They got me running around a lot. And I do know that there's been a lot of attention on this race. And, part of the reason is that there's so few races that are competitive. I think
right.
the competition is good.
And, this isn't going to change the majority in Congress, right, this one particular. But I guess, it's a big deal if there is anywhere that it's close. Hey, you had the vice president here today. What did he say up at the Union Hall this morning? Did you talk about his?
It was fun to see him. It was he is a remarkably warm person. He just wanted to reiterate the importance of getting people out to vote. He
mm-hmm.
talked about how it's one thing to talk about the middle class and getting people back on their feet and getting the economy moving. It's another thing to have plans. And I think he just wants to emphasize that, there are a lot of good things we can do to get the economy moving, get people back to work, support
mm-hmm.
education. Those are the kinds of things I've been talking about. And he was just encouraging folks to get out and vote.
Did he talk about his first run for the Senate as, I think, a 30-year-old or whatever? He came from way back in the field to pull off an incredible win. Did he mention that at all?
He mentioned a little. He mentioned he was 29 years old
right.
When he got elected. He wasn't even allowed to take office till he was 30. So I guess he had to wait till then. And
this is Delaware, right?
Delaware,
mm-hmm.
right. And, he's been around a while. He's worked with a lot of presidents. He's got a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. He also talked about, you know, his upbringing when, you know, he did said something that would, that sort of moved a lot of people, including me. He talked about how the worst thing for a parent was having to look your child in the eyes and not being able to help them with the problem they had. And we thought a lot about, you know, our own upbringing, the fact that, you know, we looked around the room. If it wasn't for the ability to have student loans and financial aid, you know, a lot of us, including me, wouldn't have been able to make a career. Would have never been in that room. I certainly wouldn't have been on that stage. So, he just reminded us of our values as Americans and making sure that we stand behind those who need an opportunity.
And Scott, a question for you. 2 years ago, your vote was subject to a recount. I was just curious, how nerve-wracking was that while you were waiting?
You know, I hire people to worry for me.
Yeah, okay, that's smart. That's really smart.
So I have had eight election nights, and three have lasted a week. And it wasn't actually wasn't technically a recount. It was just that, you know, in California, a lot of
well, slow. I guess I should have said a slow count, right? Yeah, afterward.
It took
count.
Us about 10 days. Now there was a good side to that people were making fun of me for. So when you get elected to Congress, you have to go choose your office, and you're in a lottery, and you're with your class. Mm-hmm. So. Freshman, you know, if you get a bad number in the freshman lottery, you can get a really terrible office or a small office or someplace in the wrong part of the building. And what happened for me was it took so long to count the ballots that they actually had to take Mr. Bilbray's office and hold it for him in case he came back. And so I actually, he had 12 years of seniority, so because... So the lottery passed me by, and I just took Mr. Bilbray's office. So I was a zero-year guy with a 12-year office. And so my goal is to win this election and then go back into the lottery with my class because maybe it will be over, at least on Tuesday instead of a week from Tuesday.
Well, good luck with the race on Tuesday, Scott, and let's hope the best candidate wins and you know, I'm just going to come out and say it. I hope you win. So there you go.
I appreciate it. You and I share that in common, Joe. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks for what you do.
Scott,
all right,
it's a pleasure.
Sir, thank you.
Good luck.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Wow, that was really great. And we should do some bragging of our own.
Let's
Richard,
brag about ourselves before our next guest is on.
Because Tuesday night was pretty special. It was the 41st annual San Diego Press Club Awards night.
Yeah, we eventually got there. We eventually found the building.
Yeah, the traffic was always an issue. But Craig Blanke, our con executive, showed up. So we thank him for support. But we put in for five categories this year, and we got awards in all of them. And Blue Ribbons, again, first place for the best radio series in San Diego and best specialty reporting series. Second place for another candidate, call-in talk or interview show. We don't do calls, so it had to be talk or interview.
Also, single report. We got a second.
Right. And then
Courtney Laver, our amazing
web designer.
Design and maintainer.
She got a second place award. And then, you know, there's no politics involved. These are judged in some other city. They never tell us. It could be Buffalo, could be New York, could be Chicago. We don't know. And there were 1,300 entrants this year in our market, which for us to come out on top again, I guess it wasn't a fluke after all.
Well, in two years, we now have five first place and three second places.
Yeah.
So that's more first places than the San Francisco Giants.
I'm telling you. Yeah, you know what? That's right. We have hit.
Took them 5 years just to get three.
Anyway, but so I guess our batting average is a lot.
It's pretty
better.
Good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
But we've got a full studio of guests tonight, so we
it's
should
crowded in here.
Yeah, it is. We should probably introduce. This is an encore appearance because this event is really taken off. One of our major sponsors is UBS, and they sponsor the Art San Diego. It's a contemporary art show, I suppose. But we have the executive director of the whole kit and caboodle here. Her name's Ann Berchtold. Ann, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. It's so fun to come back.
How many times have you followed a congressperson on radio?
He's your opening act.
This is a first.
Yes. So the website's great. It's art-sandiego.com. Tell us about the event this year. Looks great. And it's in the same Rob Quigley building, right, that he designed?
Yes, it is. The Balboa Park Activity Center.
Mm-hmm. That's the east part of the park near Park Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you play ping pong or badminton, mm-hmm. you're very familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I think, and you're an art collector, you now are familiar with it because this is the third year we'll be in that location. Kicks off Thursday night as always, with a wonderful big opening night event, which we kind of call the first preview, which invites our guests and our UBS guests to come and see the work. This year, we have over 60 exhibitors coming from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful selection called Art Spot International, focused on Latin American artwork. We have artwork from China and from Korea and from Berlin, and then, of course, a lot of the local artists and art galleries as well.
I saw a good friend, Ingrid Croce. I didn't know she was an artist until last year, but she had an exhibit there of her work, and it's pretty impressive. And I actually took a picture of her and her son AJ and Jim Rock, her new husband. And they hadn't had any pictures together yet, so she was very glad that I did that.
Oh, she's wonderful. I love that woman. She's a fantastic artist, a fantastic person.
What a great, you know, for San Diego, you can't have a better ambassador than Ingrid Croce.
Exactly.
So how many exhibits this year, would you say? Did you give us a total?
You know, there's over 60 exhibitors, mm-hmm. Galleries and artists that will be showcasing their work. Probably over 1,000 pieces of work will be on exhibition. And then we do these art programs, which we showcase every year, that are kind of site-specific works that are curated by local artists, emerging art spaces, institutions. And we have some amazing projects this year. Ship in the Woods, this group out of Del Mar, is creating outdoor kind of surreal perception space, and they're working with neurobiologists from Salk Institute on this really interesting immersive experience.
Like the biomimicry type stuff, where they're using animals for the design work in biomedicine?
I don't think that's it, but
no.
at least I hope not. They're creating a dark room, and you have to adjust once you go in, and then once you get in, a certain light allows the ability for you to use your finger almost as a paintbrush to kind of trace patterns.
Like holograms and stuff?
Yes. And I've yet to experience it, but this is what I've been told. So they're working with students from the New School of Architecture to design this space, and it's going to be beautiful. It's actually, they're starting to build the structure now. And then we're also working with another group out of UCSD who are going to build the Center Cafe, this 20-foot by 20-foot inflatable lounge made out of those floaty devices.
I noticed some interesting furniture last year. Yeah, it was really cool. Well, the opening night party is a blast, and it's a big VIP event. There's a lot of notable people in town coming through there. If you're lucky enough to get there that night for that party.
How many people are you expecting in total, Ann?
Well, probably similar to last year. Opening night, we get about 3,000 people. It's a big night. And over the course of the 4 days, we had about 14,000 people last year.
So it opens what time during the day?
On Thursday nights, the opening night opens from 5 to 9. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is Friday, Saturday, 12 to 8, and Sunday, 12 to 5.
Outstanding. So the website, again, is art-sandiego.com. If you want tickets, get on there and get over to this building. Is just, if you know where the old Balboa Naval Hospital is, it's just to the north of that building. On that side of the Balboa Park campus.
Right, by the Veterans Hospital.
There we go. So, Ann, thanks so much for coming in, and we really appreciate it. We got to take a little break right now.
Thank you.
Right back after these announcements. Stay tuned. All right, we are back with Mason Williams, Classical Gas. We had Dickie Smothers on, by the way, couple of months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Anyway, Richard, we had some more questions for Ann before she goes.
Yeah, a couple things before we let Ann
go. For Ann Berchtold.
Ann Berchtold, Art San Diego. So, Ann, our major sponsor this show is also your major sponsor, UBS. We want to thank Michael Caronta from UBS for getting Ann arranged to come in.
And being here.
And being here as well, in studio. But I know UBS, together with the Monarch School, is doing something really fun at Art San Diego, too. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, yes. UBS has been a fantastic partner of ours since the beginning. And this year, specifically, let's say over the last couple of years, they've brought students from the Price School, from the Monarch School, from several schools to visit the fair, meet the artist, and talk about the process. But this year, they're doing something really interesting. They've been working with the Monarch School for the last several months to have students there create something they're calling Butterfly Inc., which is a business that they're setting up to sell artwork that they've created. So at the fair this year, they will be bringing in a lot of products that they've created that have artwork done by the various kids that they will sell. So the whole experience is meant to show them how to set up a business, how to sell, and, you know, show them kind of both sides of the art world, the business side and then, of course, the creative side.
And these kids, Monarch School, if you haven't heard of them, I mean, they're a great organization. That these, most of these kids go there from homeless, right, or couch surfing, or have one parent in jail or something, or they're really on in a hardship frame, right?
Yes, and it's a fantastic school, I believe, sponsored by Nat Bosa, one of our leading developers here. And I just had the opportunity to go down and speak to a class. And it's really an amazing program, what they're doing. And they have a lot of opportunities. And this is one by UBS, you know, where the community comes in and is able to also provide additional programming for the students.
Yeah. I went to one of the graduations one year at the Holiday Inn Embarcadero. I don't know what they're calling it these days, but boy, it was very emotional, I will say. I was hiding behind a plant with a tear coming down my eye.
Yeah, it's
and,
an amazing,
and Margaret
amazing
Radford said, Govecki, are you crying? I said, get out of here. This is rough.
It definitely puts things in perspective. Yeah. As I was leaving and driving home to my kids in Del Mar, I definitely made sure to tell them, you know, you really need to understand, you know, what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Michael Quaranta and I have a good friend, Francesca Filanc, who's going to be one of the exhibitors at Art San Diego. She's, I guess the word is an abstractionist. She's an abstract artist, does some amazing work. So, Francesca, if you're listening tonight, hi, we're looking forward to... I think your booth is going to be near the entrance, so people won't have to look very far to find your amazing work.
Is she Italian? Francesca? Is
not
it Brazilian?
Really. Not really. Not really Italian. But she's a very nice lady who loves to paint, and she's going to be there, and her work is really amazing.
Outstanding.
So, we'll have some friends there as well as people we don't know. But with all the exhibitors, it's amazing what's going to be there. We had so much fun there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just a great venue.
Well, so. That first night, I know it's out in the patio. There's a lot of beverages flowing, right?
Exactly.
UBS makes sure that their clients are very well taken care of that evening.
It is a fun night. It really is. This is the sixth edition. Is it 6 years?
Sixth year, yep. Yes. So started in 2009.
But it started originally in Basel, right, as the original one? Or is that,
well,
that's a big, and in Miami. And Miami.
Basel still exists.
Still exists. Yep. And it started in Switzerland, but now for the last, I think, 15 years or so, it takes place in Miami. And that is the biggest art fair in the U.S. And of course, there's many other art fairs, but that is... the biggest one. And so what happens in Miami is that one takes place at the convention center, and there are literally 27 to 30 satellite fairs about the size of my fair that surround that fair. So I've always called it Burning Man for billionaires. You know, these people come in and it's with private jets and it's anything goes. It's really quite the scene.
Does it, what month does that take place in Miami, by the way?
It's coming up the first week of December every year.
Hmm. Well, you know, in 20, 50 years, whatever, they'll all be underwater, so they'll all have to come here anyway.
Exactly.
That's my hope. That's my hope.
Anyway, Ann, thanks so much for being with us. We have another guest tonight, by the way.
Sure, we got one or two choices. They can switch headphones while I'm kibitzing, or we can just do sponsors before the break and get to the break, and that way our next guest, Paul Hines, will have the whole second half.
I think that's a capital suggestion. Why don't we
think about sponsors? All right, let's do some sponsors. Thank you to our sponsors.
There you go.
And we'll take this all the way to the break because we've got some extra ones to mention. Of course, we've already mentioned UBS, the sponsor, major sponsor of Art San Diego, as well as this show, Michael Quaranta, Drew Freitas. It was good to see Drew in town. He was in town on Thursday. Also, Jeff Brooks, their great estate planning expert. Good to see the whole team. Right across the street from UBS in downtown La Jolla, right across Prospect Street, the best business bank in San Diego, Regions Bank, with Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. I know Sean's coming in for a show, I think, here in a couple of weeks, so we're looking forward to that. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, CFO Services and Backroom Accounting Services, the best outsourced CFO service that you can find here in Southern California. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito, couldn't do it without you and your firm. Brenda Geiger, the law office, the Geiger Law Office, asset protection and estate planning. And Brenda, of course, is a huge supporter of Star San Diego and of my Oceanside Turkey Trot, and really appreciate that. Cost Segregation Initiatives, Mr. Joel Groshkin, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, by far and away the best business valuation firm here, not only on the West Coast, but the entire planet, helping business owners understand the risks inherent in their businesses and how to reduce those risks and increase the value of their businesses. And our newest sponsor, they're back again because we're going to be promoting their upcoming event in early March on March 9th and 10th. That, Joe, would be Servant Leadership Institute, Mr. Art Barter, recent guest on our show as well, ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. They have an amazing event coming up on March 10th where, for the first time in history, Ken Blanchard, Stephen M. R. Covey, and John Maxwell will all be on the same stage at the same time, which is incredible. And last but not least, technically not a sponsor, but our amazing website designer and maintainer, Courtney Lauver with PopX Graphics, also an award winner at the San Diego Press Club Award. She's, I think, in the Midwest with her boyfriend on the boyfriend's family farm, slopping the pigs or mowing the North 40. So I guess our podcast will get up a day late this week. But couldn't do it without Courtney and her great firm, PopX Graphics. And again, she is now an award winner as well. So really cool stuff. So Joe, how can our amazing listeners find out about our equally amazing sponsors?
Well, all they have to do is get on iymoney.com and get their cursor over to the sponsors tab, and all the sponsors will drop down right before your eyes. Click on any one of them. You'll get their contact information, their little background information, and everything you need to know. And we have to take a break.
And Brooke
right
Told, Art San Diego, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for
thank
being
you.
Here. And thanks,
Scott Peters, thank you as well.
Congressman Peters. And listen, we'll be right back after the new sports weather, so hang on. All right, we're back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. That's the Avengers, isn't it, Eric? Or what? I think so. Isn't it, Richard? Anybody
I think know? It is.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Anyway. We've
so
got...
we already thanked our sponsors.
We
so
did.
Anybody who tuned in at the downstroke, because they only want to hear our sponsors, you got to play the podcast.
Yes.
It's at the end of the first half.
Yes, but we have...
But we did that for a strategic reason, because the first half of this show was a mad scramble, wasn't it?
Somewhat.
It was a lot of fun, though. Scott Peters, followed by Ann Berchtold, Art San Diego.
There you go.
And now, for the second half of the show,
we have a gentleman.
We have a gentleman, and I won't mention his name, because you always accuse me of just being too
well, he always,
succinct.
You get right to the get, you know, yeah. The intro.
So I'll let you introduce Mr. Paul Hines.
That's it. I'm taking your plaque back.
I haven't gotten it yet. We got to pay extra for the duplicate plaques.
That's right.
Come on, Terry Williams.
There you
Front
go.
The money for two.
Anyway, this gentleman is a certified financial planner. He's been in the field for 30 years doing that, but his real passion is elder abuse and how to prevent and address that countywide and beyond, I assume.
And we've talked about that on this show when Bob Brewer was running against Bonnie DeManis.
That is correct. He was
running. We know Paul Greenwood down in the office in San Diego
yes.
as well.
So anyway, we'd like to welcome to our show and to our microphones, Paul Hines. Right? Did I get that name right?
You got the name right.
Yeah,
you got it right.
Paul, before we talk about preventing elder abuse and why that's so important, can you give us a little bit about your background, your history? I know you're a Cavalier, but beyond that, I don't know very much.
Like born and raised where? And
no, he's University of Virginia, so he's a Cavalier.
Well, I know, but born and raised where?
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me. So I was born in the Boston area.
Aha. See, Richard, not
and escaped,
Virginia.
Yeah,
escaped
that's a connection with you, Joe.
Escaped the Boston area to go to college. Spent 4 years in beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia at the University of Virginia. The the Cavaliers, otherwise known as the Wahoos.
Now, how'd they get the Wahoos? I never heard of that one. Are they called the Wahoos, really?
Yeah.
Supposedly it has to do with the fish can drink like twice its size in water.
And so can the students.
Yes.
And it's not just water, but anyway.
As the story goes. And then my wife and I moved here to San Diego in 1983.
Uh-huh.
And we raised two children here, two native Californians. And we live in the Carmel Valley area, just next door to Del Mar.
You got here just in time for the Padres going to the pennant. That was a crazy
It was
area.
A great, great yeah. experience. Yeah.
So there you go. So
and professionally, you're the CEO of Hearthstone Wealth Management, correct?
That's right. It's a firm I started on my own 8 years ago after spending 22 years in a large Wall Street investment firm. Mm-hmm.
Ah, so you worked in Wall Street for a while then, right?
With a large Wall Street firm.
Gotcha. But you were a psychology major. Interesting transition. So you went from psychology to the financial field. How did that happen?
Well, funny that you asked that because investor behavior is actually quite a big part of investment success.
Mm-hmm.
So I think psychology is a good background.
Yeah, and the market behavior is psychology.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
Herd mentality, good or bad.
And we can't control the market. That's so all we can control is the way we react to it.
Huh, interesting. Have there been any good books on the psychology aspect of the financial? That's an interesting...
There's quite a few books out now. Investment behavior is a big field of study.
Huh. There's probably majors in this now, right?
Investor behavior.
Most people tend to be too short-term, don't they?
I think if you just extend your vision a little bit longer and consider that you're investing for your lifetime, then you behave a little bit differently.
Sure.
Well, everyone knows if you gave Warren Buffett $10,000 in around 1965, you'd have $50 million today, approximately, plus or minus, right? That's pretty good.
Something like that. But Paul, this topic of prevention of elder abuse, how did you get interested in this, or why are you so passionate about this topic? Before we talk about some specifics about how to prevent, why is this important to you?
Well, there's two real important reasons. One is we do deal with the elderly. Many of our clients are older. So we look out for ways that we can protect them from all kinds of risk, whether it's tax risks, investment risks, and this type of crime is really another risk that we want to help protect them from. Because if they're going to live a long life, then they need their resources to help mm-hmm. take care of them or to leave a legacy, then we want to make sure that we're protecting them from all the risks that we can.
Now, did you what compelled you to get into this aspect?
I mean, for example, have you had personal experience?
Yeah, and the second main reason is it happened to my family. Mm-hmm. My father was
taken advantage of.
He was taken advantage of in one of the scams, one of the more common scams out there called the lottery scam.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And it was quite a horrible experience for us as a family because you just can't imagine how terrible it is when you're telling your dad that it's a scam and my siblings are telling him it's a scam and the police are telling him it's a scam. And he's believing a person he's never met on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, and you're actually a wealth advisor to boot.
Right. And
it's like when I tell my mom to prepay her real estate taxes. She's like, well, I think I'll go ask my hairdresser. You're just a CPA. Yeah.
I thought it was really ironic and really sad that I was teaching others how to identify and prevent, and it was happening right on my
Is your dad local, or is he not close to you?
He's in the East Coast near Boston.
Okay, so because I know that's one of the challenges frequently with elder abuse is when the parents and the kids and the when people aren't together.
Right,
I suspect it increases the probability of something happening.
Wasn't that film Nebraska that had that scam going on? It was kind of a black comedy, but it was actually kind of funny.
There was a version of that.
Yeah.
But one thing I learned from this is how powerful and how really crafty and good the scam artists are because they can really draw someone in and get them fully invested in the fact that they 100% believe they're going to get these winnings. And they just have to keep sending money and keep sending goods and overseas
well,
to get
you know, there's
the
charlatans
winnings.
Out there, like, even in the penny stock field. I mean, gosh, they've shut down all kinds of boiler operations, right? And the police fund, you know, raising money for the fireman's ball and all this stuff. It goes on.
If all that talent was just used for good, just think how much better the world would be.
Exactly. Yeah. So how did your father stop that behavior? I mean, did you guys have to intervene? I mean, I'm just curious.
We really
it's too
had
personal,
to,
don't
we had to intervene. Okay. We had to have the police come over more than once.
Okay.
And at the very last moment, he was on the phone trying to make sure that something he had sent had arrived at his location. I guess they told him this is the last thing you have to send, and then we're going to send you the winnings or whatever they said, whatever lie they were telling at that moment. And a police officer came in and just told him to hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I think he finally got it.
Did they ever catch the guys, or are they overseas?
Unfortunately, they're not on U.S. soil.
Gosh.
And they can be sitting anywhere in the world and use any phone number from anywhere in the world and can say I'm in any place that they want to say that they're from.
That's right. Actually, you can trick your phone now into saying it's even, you can make it look like it's coming from a local number, right?
Right. I mean, and he was sending most of the money to Ireland, but that doesn't mean that's where they were because they can just have the money rerouted.
Just wired.
Rerouted.
And, yeah. Right, exactly.
Unbelievable.
So it's quite a large business, and we know that. We estimate about $3 billion is lost here in the United States to scams of this nature, and I'm sure that understates the actual figure.
Okay. Does your father live by himself, or is your mom still?
He does live by himself. Okay. My mom unfortunately passed away about 30 years ago.
Okay, so he's by himself.
Yeah. But he still has his mental faculties. You'd think it only happens to people that have dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, you'll be happy to know he's a former accountant. So one thing for sure, he kept very detailed records.
Detailed records. Well, the only good news is you get an ordinary loss. It's the old Madoff loss.
So
provision that was put in the tax code.
He was a CPA, or
he was actually a management accountant for AT&T for 39 years.
Oh wow!
But it's still sharp as a tack, and this was just something that he got caught up in and really believed in it.
But I saw one factor that you met in your paperwork that you sent us ahead of time that. Over half of the adults over 85 will have some form of dementia in their lifetime.
Exactly, some form of dementia. Maybe Alzheimer's, but there's lots of other types of dementia. There's one that's very hard to detect called frontal lobe dementia, which affects your decision making. But
there's delusional disorder.
It's not a delusional disorder.
Yeah, I mean that's out there. Delusional disorder.
Sure.
I hear of elder women thinking they're being recorded by the FBI and all these things.
I think that a lot too. So that may be true. but seriously, Paul, I know you.
You have a reason. They don't.
Yeah, maybe you have a reason. But Paul, seriously, you've got some great tips that I want to do after the break. But leading into the break, I know your organization. You might want to mention that briefly. And I know I looked at three really neat video clips of about 30 seconds that are up on the website.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. We have three TV spots that we produced, and the goal is to educate the elders themselves and the people who care about them about possible situations that might involve financial abuse or scams. And we think that if we can help them understand that the scam is occurring, they could stop it before it gets too far. Mm-hmm. Because one thing we know for sure is once the money is gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's wired overseas, you can't get it back. If it's to someone here in the United States, they might be using it for drugs or something like that. It's impossible almost to recover. So the three TV spots are on our website, endfinancialabuse.org.
Mm-hmm.
Please show them to anybody you care about, elder or not, and hopefully that will help educate them so they can prevent it before it happens.
And then maybe we can talk when we come back about some of the investigations and maybe some success stories that are going on.
Well, I have a lot of things I want to talk about caregivers. Yeah. I have a lot of things I want to talk about.
But we have to take a break right now. We'll come right back after these announcements. Stay tuned. All right. We love that Bonanza music.
We're riding back into the studio.
Used to be on Sunday night, but what the heck? It's Saturday night. Music's still good. And we're back with Paul Hines.
We used to be on Sunday night, too.
That's right. We're back with our guest, Paul Hines, who's talking about elder abuse. And where'd you like to go, Richard?
Paul, I know your effort is very collaborative. Could you talk about how collaborative it is? Because it's really amazingly collaborative.
Yes. Thank you, Richard. We formed an alliance, and it's called the Alliance to End Financial Elder Abuse. And there are some very dedicated and passionate people involved, and I'd like to mention who they are. Ron Greenwald, who is a realtor. Eloise Feinstein, an estate planning attorney.
Sure, I know Eloise.
Frank Fiorito, he's a professional fiduciary, and his son Brian Fiorito also works with Frank. Darren Schwartz, and Darren's one of the key people at the Jewish Community Foundation, mm-hmm. and me. And the six of us got together, and we decided we don't want to see anybody else in San Diego suffer from financial elder abuse, and we're going to do everything we can. And we started with those three 30-second spots, and they are running on the television right now as we speak.
Are there any events that you'd like to mention that there have in the past or in the future?
We have in the past been sponsoring speaking events to educate people, and if anyone is interested in having us come speak to your organization, we'd be happy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys gotten into assisted living homes to do?
We have.
Good.
We've been going around the county to the retirement communities and speaking to people there. One thing we did notice is that it's a very distasteful subject and not very uplifting, so people don't like to talk about it.
Well, it's the shame, it's almost like
I've done amended income tax returns for a couple of folks who've been scammed who their CPAs didn't know they could take a Madoff ordinary loss, and so they just took a capital loss, which is of no use whatsoever. And they're almost embarrassed to even admit that they did what they did.
They got defrauded.
Because of the shame or embarrassment. Yeah, right. And of course, to the extent you can get an ordinary loss, at least maybe the government's paying for 30 or 40% of it, instead of having this useless capital loss carry forward, which is not the technically correct presentation. But yeah, people get to the point where they don't even want anybody to know, which is understandable. But if the government's going to help.
But let's see if there's some success stories or some. I mean, in San Diego, you've probably broken up a few rings or stopped some of this here and saved some people.
The San Diego County District Attorney's Office has a very deep bench of people prosecuting these crimes, and they're very successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they have mentioned as a challenge sometimes is the key witness is the elder.
Mm-hmm.
And if the key witness has some form of dementia, sometimes they can't be a witness, or if they're unwilling, sometimes the perpetrator of these scams sometimes is a family member. So they want to protect their family member.
Mm.
And last but not least, sadly, some of the times the key witness is no longer with us.
Mm. So
it's very difficult, but they do prosecute thousands of cases every year. And they're very successful in putting some of these people away.
Yeah, I know people think about it, it's usually money, but many older people own a lot of valuable things like artwork and jewelry and so on. But in many cases, I know they haven't really documented or taken photographs.
Well, you just have to watch, you guys watch that show American Greed. I mean, there's cases like this that come up frequently on there where they're...
Yeah, it's very sad, but often someone who has access to the home, either a caregiver or even a housekeeper or house cleaner, just helps themselves, or a member of the family, just helps themselves to the family jewels, and the jewels walk out the door, and often it's not discovered. So it is important to keep an inventory of your jewelry.
Yeah, I know another key issue is caregivers. I don't mean to sound negative towards caregivers, because they do great work, working in very difficult situations, working with people who are older, who have health problems, physical problems, and so on. But I know in many cases when family isn't present or in somebody's life on a frequent basis, it's not unusual for the caregiver, for example, to wind up as being the beneficiary in the living trust. Or some other odd result.
Do they typically go after the widows or widowers who are, you know, obviously if one of the spouses has passed on, then someone's probably pretty lonely and the phone rings and they're taken in a lot more easily. Is that?
I think if you're alone, you're probably a little bit more vulnerable. You don't have someone to bounce things off of, talk about the issues.
But plus you become attached to the people you spend time with.
You do. And whoever has that power can wield that power for good or for bad.
Right, I'm going to give you a good idea, because Meals on Wheels, they deliver meals to obviously elders who are living alone, but maybe you can get some of your paperwork or to
maybe
deliver
we can
with
put
the
together
meals.
A flyer and get that out to them. That's a great idea, Joe. Thank you. Yeah.
It's one good thing I thought.
I know another challenge that I've seen with older folks is they tend not to be very high tech, so they're not using text and email and so on. There tends to be a lot of paper sitting around in many cases in their rooms, in their house, which I've always felt that paper is probably the least secure form of transmitting information and data that exists, because you're not using passwords or anything else.
Well, they could be vulnerable because they've left information out. And a caregiver or someone could pick that up and use that to access their accounts.
I remember getting the email from an alleged friend or relative. I'm stranded in, London, and wire me this, right?
I mean, I get about one of those every 3 months.
That's affectionately called the grandma scam, because typically they'll call and say, grandma or grandpa, whoever answers the phone. And the first thing out of their mouth is that you,
Billy?
Johnny, Billy?
Yeah.
And then
Richard?
They're off and running.
Is that you, Richard?
Well, I get them by email. It's from friends, and I'm trapped in Scotland, and I got mugged and my wallet got stolen, and please send money.
I just tell them I'm falling down and I can't get up. Sorry, I can't help
one of the One of the more recent scams that's very prevalent is they call it the IRS scam, because someone calls and claims that they're an IRS agent. What the people on the end of the phone don't know is that the IRS never calls. They always write. They always send letters. But
they also never email, ever. So if you get an email...
But they tell you that you're in big trouble and you're going to lose income, or you're going to lose your assets and if you don't make the payment. And a lot of people are intimidated by that sense of authority. Especially the elder generation, they've been very respectful of authority.
Or you get an email with an actual bank logo, like Chase or somebody. I don't even bank there, and they're telling me, click here because you have to update your information or something.
There's a lot of phishing scams going on out there.
Unreal, and I can imagine elderly people, they're not wary of these things. So,
and then there are people going to door to door saying, "We'll fix your roof. We're in the neighborhood. We just finished one of your neighbors. We'll fix your roof." They'll take the check, and either the work will be shoddy or it won't be done at all. So they take advantage of them from that regard.
And what should somebody do in that situation? Should they ask for the person's license, for example?
I think they should get as much information as possible,
get their card.
Ask them to come back, and in the meantime, check on them.
Yeah.
Trust but verify.
Due diligence, right?
Do your homework, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
So I know, Paul, a lot of elderly people don't really have a lot of credit because their homes are paid off, or they don't really use credit cards. Should they nevertheless do credit searches on themselves every so often to make sure?
Well, I think in terms of identity theft, that's always a good idea. And when you mention credit, it made me think of another potential issue with seniors in particular who own their home free and clear, the reverse mortgages. There could be people out there encouraging them to take money out of their house, tap into their equity, and then use it to make a phony investment or to do other things with it that would not be in their best interest. So,
I think the reverse mortgage market isn't well understood. I think in some cases it's actually a really good product, particularly for somebody with health issues who wants to stay in their home. But you're right. In many cases, I think people use other reasons to try to induce somebody to do one.
especially if the elder knows what they're doing and they know why they're doing it, mm-hmm. it can be useful. But in, right. in some other cases, it could be used against them.
Right, exactly.
Why don't we just give the 10 tips, just the headlines alone?
Yeah, we sort of, Paul, why don't you just read them? But I think we covered some of them, but let's make sure we got them all covered.
Like the I'll read them.
Yeah, read them. If we mentioned, if we already talked about it, we can just go to the next one.
So for folks, you got to pay attention here. Choose a caregiver with caution.
We sort of talked about that.
Keep an inventory of all jewelry.
Yeah, and it should be all things of any value in the home. I know many seniors own things like baseball card collections, artwork, and so on. So it's not just jewelry.
And there are professionals that will do that for you. You don't have to do it on your own.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then here's one we didn't get into, but every home should have a shredder. Absolutely. You have a shredder. All your mail, because they'll go into your trash and get your information that way, right? So you got to be careful.
And if you don't have a shredder and have a lot of information, some organizations like Goodwill will come to your house.
And I know a lot of assisted living homes have shredders like in the lobby and so on, in the business room in the back.
That's a new thing. So protect your incoming and outgoing mail, which dovetails on that. And
then use a locked mailbox somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go. Well, we have the check washing scam, though. People will steal checks and change those around. So obtain a credit search on yourself, Richard just mentioned, at least two or three times a year. That may be a little excessive, don't you think? At least once, though, I would say.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Every telephone should have caller ID fitted.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Even though the scammers can sometimes get around that using phony phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm never going to win the Canadian lottery?
I'm sorry to
say.
And one thing, if you ever are told that you have to send money to get money, it's always a scam.
Yeah, and never, ever give anybody even the last four digits of your Social Security number over the phone. Or the entire thing, obviously, unless...
And your date of birth is another key.
And your date of birth.
Let's run through the last one. We're running out of time here. So consider allowing your bank to send a duplicate copy of your monthly statement to a trusted family member or professional advisor. Consider that. Don't assume that the friendly handyman is in fact licensed, which we talked about
that.
And then always have a second line of defense at your front door because they'll try to get in.
Right. Have a locked screen door or something like that.
So a lot of people don't even think of that. But
if people want to keep up with the latest thinking in this line, there's a great website called agingparents.com. And you can subscribe to their newsletter and has fantastic information.
And then there's an 800 hotline, too, isn't it? 800.
Yeah, this is a real challenge because people are living so long, too.
I think it's 800-510-something. I saw it somewhere.
Adult.
But we'll put it up on our website.
Yeah, we'll put it up on our website.
So IY Money, make sure you get over to iymoney.com. We'll have it on there. But we have to.
Paul Hines, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks
Paul
for being
Hines.
So patient.
Thanks for having
the first
me on.
Half of the show.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. Don't forget to vote.
Yes, thank you, Ann Berchtold.
Already voted.
Good.
Thank you, Ann Berchtold. Thank you, Congressman Scott Peters.
Thank you, UBS, for bringing Ann Berchtold in.
Absolutely. Set your clocks back, right? Fall back tonight.
Fall back 1 hour.
And thank you to Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer, always making us sound great. And to Craig Blanke, our account executive. And thanks for coming to the Press Club Awards. And to our programming genius, Dave Sniff. Go Chargers. I think that's it. We're out of time. I got to rest my voice for next week. Have a great week, everybody. Good night now.